Natural Thing by J.P. Black.
Salutations, fellow night traveler. Let us go together down this lonesome road. It's All Hallows Eve, and there are frightful things about. We will perhaps be safer in the company of one another. My name is Ray Cadera. I'm the host of Circle City Supernatural, and I welcome you to a very special Halloween edition of our program. Now, typically, we bring you stories of the weird and the wondrous, but tonight, you will bring us those stories. Rather than devoting only a portion of tonight's show to the open lines, the entire length of it will be about you, Circle City. Tonight, the listeners become the herd. So please call us and share your tales of the phantasmal and the fantastic. 555-0162 is the number. And the phone lines are lighting up already. Well, let's dive right in. Hello, caller. You're on Circle City Supernatural.
Yeah, am I on?
You are, sir. May I have your name?
Peter Van Griff, but Griff is what everyone calls me.
Well, we're glad to have you, Griff. What do you want to tell us about?
I was doing some metal detecting down by Old Scratch Creek 2 summers back. Had the best find of my life that day. Doomsayer revolver from the 1870s. Anyway, I was hiking out of the woods when, now mind you, it wasn't even dark yet, but I heard a howl. Nearest I could tell, it was a wolf. I've never heard one sound like that before.
Old Scratch Creek and the woods around it have quite the reputation.
Yeah, I had heard stories about it being haunted. Never seen anything like that myself. And what came after me was no ghost.
It came after you? You saw what it was?
Oh, I saw what it was. It was huge is what it was. Came tearing out of the brush and pounced on me. Knocked me down, would have bitten my head off, except I got my metal detector wedged in its jaws. It only seemed to slow it down for a sec before it tore the detector out of my hands. When it did, I scrambled up and stabbed it with my collapsible spade. It seemed to change its mind about me, because it didn't give chase when I turned and ran back to my truck.
Well now, that must have been terrifying.
I haven't even told you the scariest part yet. My hand to God, Ray, that thing had clothes on it. Just tattered strips, but it was like the creature was a person that had, well, you know, turned into not a person.
You mean like a...
Yeah, like that. That's why I've been sitting on this story since it happened. Haven't told anyone until tonight. Figured everyone would think my elevator didn't reach the top floor, you know? Anyway, that's all I had to say. Thanks for taking the time.
Sure thing, Griff, and you be safe out there. Anyone else seen a werewolf in the woods around Old Scratch Creek? If so, give us a call right here at 555-0162. Okay, let's move on to our next caller. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Did we lose you?
No, I'm here. Sorry, thought I heard something.
Welcome to Circle City Supernatural.
To be honest, I really have no interest in your show. Sorry, that was rude. I don't have a lot of time, so let me get to it quick. Wow, that sounded really paranoid, didn't it? I'm sorry, I'm not usually like this. I'm not like your other callers. Sorry, that was also very rude. I'm an adjunct professor of anthropology at Circle City University.
Well, we're always happy to have an academic on the program.
Please, just let me. Sorry. I'm freaking out a bit.
Professor, are you in some kind of danger?
No. Maybe. Probably not. Yes, I think.
Perhaps you should hang up and phone the police.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, if you're going to stay with us, how about we start with your name?
No, I'm not comfortable giving it, especially if this turns out to be nothing.
Very well. Can you tell us why you called tonight?
I was robbed today.
In that case, I'm going to insist that you call the police immediately.
They can't help me. You can't either, but you'll at least listen, which is all I need right now.
Professor, this is a radio show, and we're taking calls only about...
That crap stuff. Yeah, I know. Why do you think I'm calling? Do you want to hear this or not?
Please.
So, about a week ago, a student of mine brought me something her late grandfather had left for her when he died. Apparently, he had bought it overseas in the 1930s. She was wondering if it was authentic. I was pretty sure that it was not, that it was nothing more than a gaff, as they are called. But at her request, I took it home and did further research online.
I'm sorry, a gaff?
A gaff, you know, like what you would have found in a sideshow or a dime museum way back when. The Fiji Mermaid was the most famous one. Have you heard of that?
Oh yes, of course. And that's what you thought you had, some fake remains of a creature that didn't exist.
Yes, I was sure it was a hoax. So I started posting photos of it to various websites that debunk this kind of thing. But then I started getting emails about the item. Offers to purchase it, mostly, which is really weird because I didn't list my email address on any of the sites. Anyway, when I replied that the item was not mine to sell, the offers did not stop. In fact, they kept going up.
What was this item, Professor?
You've noticed that I'm making a point not to say just yet.
I have. Professor, are you still there?
Yes, sorry. I was looking out my curtains. I think a black car just parked up the street.
You said you had been robbed. Was your student's item taken?
That's all that was taken. That's how I know it's true.
What's true?
The conspiracy. Oh, geez. Now I sound like one of your callers. The more digging I did into this particular area, I began to find repeated mentions of cover-ups and disappearances. Apparently, a lot of relics similar to my students have surfaced over the last couple hundred years. But they always seem to vanish, often acquired by collegiate institutions and museums who take them for study, but then the artifacts and fossils are never seen again.
Professor, can you tell us what you're talking about now?
Yes, I can tell you now. Was waiting until the end because I have a feeling I may get cut off. I think they're watching me, listening too.
Professor?
There is a conspiracy being perpetrated by the highest levels of power throughout the world to conceal the existence of an ancient race of giants. Weapons, tools, bones, and now a mummified finger measuring over 14 inches in length have been pilfered and concealed from the public. Our history is not what we think it is, and we're soon...
Hello? Hello, Professor? Was that on our end? No? Sorry, folks. Just talking to my producer. She's telling me the call was interrupted somehow. Professor, if you're still listening, please give us a call back so that we know you're okay. Gosh, that was pretty unnerving. We get a lot of cranks who call in here, and honestly, I hope that was one of them. She sounded sincere, though. Well, all right, then. I guess we can, all we can do is just keep on going. Next caller, you're up.
Hey, I got through!
Why, yes, you did.
Okay, so I was just wondering if you had heard about the non-man. Oh, my name is Emily, by the way.
Ah, yes, I have, actually. Emily, I was wondering when someone would call in about this. It's one of those scary stories from the internet, right? What do they call them, spooky spaghettis or something like that?
Yeah, close enough. But this one is actually true. The non-man is real, and he lives in our city.
Do tell.
So, there's this game. Don't ask me how it got started. I have no idea. But all my friends were playing and swearing it was real. I didn't believe them until I tried it myself. So, the way it works is you go somewhere with a lot of people to better your chances. Like somewhere downtown, and you discreetly take pictures of a crowd. Then you look at your phone, and every once in a while, you will see him.
The non-man?
No one knows how he does it. It's like you can be looking at an old man, but then you take a picture of him, and in the picture, the old man is not an old man. It's this huge effing monster! And I have a picture of it. Of all my friends who play, I have the best photo, because I got the closest.
To this old man who was not an old man?
It can appear as anyone. When I took the picture, it was posing as a little girl. I remember clearly there being this little blonde kid standing maybe 20 feet away from me. But in the picture...
She was gone and standing there instead was, what does it look like exactly?
It kind of looks like a man, but isn't. No one knows what it really is, so we just call the monster what it's not.
The non-man.
Yeah. He can trick your eyes into seeing him as whoever, but he can't trick cameras, apparently.
With cameras everywhere nowadays, it seems strange he would be hanging around such a busy place like downtown.
Right? That's what I said. I don't know what he'd be doing here either. He just seems to be wandering around, almost like he's looking for someone. I hope he eventually gets caught, or killed, or just goes away. Anyway, I haven't posted my picture online yet. I should. I'm just kind of afraid to.
Thank you for calling in, Emily. We will all be on our guard now because of you. All right. Rolling along here. I appreciate you waiting. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Their flesh will rot while they're still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets and their tongues will rot in their mouths.
I'm sorry?
Everyone shall eat the flesh of his neighbor in the siege and in the distress.
Perhaps we should move on to another.
Don't you cut me off! Those words come from the Bible.
I see.
Oh, not a Bible reader, huh? How about some poetry then? Lo, death hath reared himself a throne in a strange city, all alone far down within the Midwest. And the good and the bad and the worst and the best have gone to their eternal rest. How about that, radio man?
Well, that one I do recognize, except you flubbed a line in there. It's actually far down within the dim west, not the Midwest. But that was cute. I saw what you did there. Sir, are you still there?
Down, down, that town shall settle hence. Hell, rising from a thousand thrones, shall do it reverence.
Well, we appreciate whatever that was. But we really need to move on to other callers.
Circle City is doomed. He who has an ear, you listen up. Like Sodom, like Gomorrah, like Atlantis, this godless kingdom of ours is doomed. The dead will be raised, not for the final judgment. No, that'll be later. This will be a pre-apocalypse, a dress rehearsal to the end of the world. It will be a perverse resurrection of soulless monsters that will fall upon and kill that which they no longer are, the living. I have dreamed dreams of the future. Hear me, the end is nigh. It's like really close. So close. It's coming. It's coming. Not to the whole world, no, not to the whole earth. Just here. Just a small chunk of it. Right here in our own town. Brothers and sisters, hear me. We're all goners.
Do yourself a favor, friend. Wherever you are, stay put. Sounds like you need to sleep it off. Let's get to someone else now, hopefully a sober someone. Hello, caller. You're on.
Mr. Benton?
I'm sorry? I think you may have the wrong number.
Ray Cadera is your radio personality. Your actual name is Ray Benton. Your late brother was Rex, and on this very night a couple years back, you aired a recording that he had made in the 1960s when he was a reporter living in the Southwest.
Oh, I see what this is about. Well, as I've stated numerous times since that broadcast, it was just a little ghost story for Halloween, purely fictional. I know we caused quite a stir with it. Orson Welles would have been proud, though.
You've been told to say that it was fake by your bosses there at the station, probably because you aired it live without permission. Surprised you didn't get fired. But you and I know that it was real, that your brother asked you to broadcast his recordings after his death to get the truth out. And you were too loyal of a brother to refuse him.
I'm sorry, young lady. I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
In his recordings, Rex mentioned being given a book that changed his life, that gave him purpose. He also said that he had passed it on to someone shortly before his end.
The book bearer. You're the... I'm sorry, miss, but frankly, I do not know what you're talking about, or why you felt compelled to call in and share it with me.
I didn't call to speak with you, Ray. I'm actually trying to find one of your former callers. You might remember him, Ryan Tolliver. Ryan, if you are listening tonight, by any chance, I need your help. I tried your house, but it's been abandoned. I tried the diner, too, but Piper hasn't seen you in ages. Where are you? If you are hearing this, go to where you first saw me. Remember, I will wait there every day between 3 and 5 for a week. Please show up. There's no one else I can call on, and things are about to get really bad.
Okay, I think it's time to go now.
Ryan, he's about to cut me off, so listen. This is about Carolyn Pelfrey. Remember her, the cultist? She's done something terrible. She said something in emotion that I can't stop alone.
Okay, I'm going to have to pull the plug there. Well, that was very strange, but nothing brings out the crazies quite like Halloween, huh, folks? Well, good evening, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello? Is someone there?
Yes, we're here. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm on the air. I can hear myself on the radio.
You are. My producer is asking if you would turn your radio off, please. It creates an echo effect over the phone.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Yeah, it's off now.
Much better. Thank you. So, what brings you to the program?
Yeah, so I'm out on the highway, Highway 37, and I should say I've never been to your city before. I'm a trucker, long haul, my way to the East Coast.
An out-of-towner. A warm welcome to you, my friend.
Thanks, but no thanks. I won't be back.
Say again?
Like I said, I've never come through here before, and I don't plan on there being around, too, if you catch my drift. If I'm ever out this way again, I'll take a detour around your entire city.
I'm sorry, but I'm not sure that I follow.
I came across your show by accident. Thought I'd soak up some local culture through good old AM radio. I was just cruising along, listening and laughing my head off at all the kooks you had on. Figured everybody just joking around, you know, for Halloween. But now I know better. These people are serious. There's something really wrong with this place.
How so?
You tell me, Chief. Are the bat monsters a regular thing around here?
I don't think anyone has called about any bat monsters. No? Did you see something like that?
Yeah, just a few minutes ago. Whole dang flock of them. Caught a look at them under this near full moon we're having tonight. I was on the outskirts then, and it looked like they was headed into town. Hard to tell just how big they were, being up in the sky and all, but I'd wager they're the size of people, maybe bigger. Look kind of like people, too.
But they had wings?
Yeah, huge ones, like bats. Things looked like devils. I tell you what, when I get home to Tennessee, I'm going back up to church. Goodbye forever, Circle City.
Oh, having kind of a rough run here, aren't we, folks? Okay, I think we have time for one more call before the break. Hello there, you're on Circle City Supernatural.
He's right, you know.
Excuse me?
Your last caller, he's not wrong about this place. In fact, all your callers tonight and every other night are proof of what he said. There's something really wrong with this place, and I know why now.
I'm sorry I didn't catch your name.
Bailey.
Well, Miss Bailey.
Bailey's my first name.
Oh, sorry. Well, Bailey, did you have something you wanted to share with us besides that?
I own a shop. Antiques and curios, mostly. I'm not trying to advertise my business with this call. I mention it only because it's part of my story. It's up to me to keep my shelves stocked, which means I have to do a lot of searching and picking to find the older or interesting items that I specialize in. If you remember, the Circle City train station temporarily closed for their remodel here recently. Well, about a month prior, a public announcement was made stating that if anyone had personal items in their lockers, they were to be removed by a certain time. If the items were left unclaimed, then the lockers were to be opened and the contents of each were to be auctioned off. Apparently, it was pretty common for travelers to stash their luggage or whatever at the train station, leave on their trip, and then just never come back for their stuff. Now, some of these lockers had not been opened in years, and others not in decades. This piqued my curiosity, so I attended the auction, hoping to acquire some long-lost treasures for my shop.
I see what you mean. That is a very tantalizing notion.
Exactly. I was very excited about what they might have found, but honestly, I sat through most of the auction with my big cart in my lap. Most of it was just junk. It turns out people don't typically abandon anything of actual worth.
So, no Holy Grail or Spanish doubloons?
No, nothing like that. I'd given up and was about to leave when they started to auction off the unopened suitcases. Apparently, there had not been enough time or interest to open all of them, so there was about a dozen that had been left closed. The auctioneer described them as grab bags, whose contents were a mystery. I felt that sense of wonder stoked again, so I bid on three of them and won. I collected my suitcases and took them home.
What did you find?
There was a yellow one, a blue one, and a red one. Crammed into the yellow suitcase was a wedding dress complete with the veil. I can only assume the young lady to which it belonged did not get married, as no woman would stuff her wedding dress into a suitcase and abandon it at the train station had it been the happiest day of her life. My guess is that she was left at the altar or got cold feet herself and took off. I'm guessing this was back in the 80s.
How do you know?
Because of the obscene amount of frills on the dress.
Well, of course. So what about the blue suitcase?
That one was a little stranger. It was a couple dozen of those nesting dolls, you know? You open one, and then there's a smaller one inside, then an even smaller one inside of that, and so on. It might have been perfectly innocent, just someone getting the same souvenir for everyone that they knew, but I don't know, it was kind of creepy.
Were they being used for smuggling, maybe?
No. Before the auction began, they told us that all of the suitcases had been cleared by the police department's canine unit. The drug dogs hadn't found anything like that, and I looked inside all the dolls. They were empty, so unless they're haunted or something, I think they're harmless.
And the last suitcase, the red one?
So the last suitcase had a man's clothes in it.
two changes, and an extra pair of shoes. There were also toiletries and a book to read on the train. Everything you'd expect of someone who planned to be gone for more than a day. It was nothing special, though, even less interesting than the other suitcases. But after I had emptied it, I noticed the inside of the suitcase was more shallow than it should have been. Then I spotted a cloth tab sticking out in the corner. I pulled on it, and a false bottom lifted it up. It was a secret compartment. Inside was a notebook and a classified government dossier.
Uh-huh.
It's fine if you don't believe me. I really don't need you to.
Oh, it's not that. I keep an open mind with everyone who calls into my show.
Really? Because I've been listening all night and it sounds to me like you're just humoring these people.
I'd like to think that I, at the very least, give everyone the benefit of the doubt, including you, Bailey. So, what did you find inside these documents?
Plans, blueprints for a secret listening station. One that could even be erected in the middle of an American city without anyone knowing it was there. The dossier is from the Cold War era, but I don't think this facility was intended to listen in on the Ruskies. It wouldn't have to be kept secret for that. No, I think it was for listening in on Americans. Possibly to root out Soviet agents living among us, at least that's what they would have said if it had ever been discovered. I kind of think they were spying on their own people, on us, but I can't prove it.
Incredible. Was this listening station ever built?
It was, right here in Circle City, at the very center of town.
At the center of town is this old water tower, is that what you mean?
With the spherical shape the facility required, as well as the great height, a water tower was the perfect disguise. According to the notebook I found, the project leader was a man named Frank Dashler, who oversaw the construction and then the operation of the facility.
Is that whose suitcase you had purchased?
It was.
How can you be sure, though?
Frank Dashler is listed as the architect on the blueprints. His notebook says, Property of Frank Dashler, and Frank Dashler is the name on the luggage tag, so I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha. So it's still running, the listening station.
No. They shut the place down back in the 80s after only 6 months. According to his notebook, it was a total failure. Something about the location. They kept getting too much interference from an unidentifiable source in the region. And since Frank had chosen the place, well, blame was laid at his feet for the ruined project. Whatever branch of the government he was working for gave him the boot after that.
Do you know what happened to him?
To quote his notebook, he moved into the private sector, but never stopped thinking about the water tower. It became an obsession of his, it sounded like. Dashler became convinced that it was not mere interference they had encountered, but something more. A signal. And then, almost 10 years after it was shut down, sometime in the mid-90s, Frank made a secret return to Circle City. He didn't tell a soul where he was going, including his own wife. He wrote that he thought his house was bugged, that someone was keeping tabs on him because of how much he knew. Plus, they'd fired him, which tends to make people bitter and maybe more willing to spill secrets as an act of revenge. In his notebook's final entry, Dashler mentioned that he was on the train headed here, where he obviously put his suitcase in a locker and presumably headed to the water tower. The fact that he never returned for his things left me with a very uneasy feeling. From here, I had to take my search online to see if there was any mention of a Frank Dashler after this time.
And was there?
Yes, Frank Dashler was reported missing by his wife on the other side of the country around the same time our Frank Dashler came to Circle City. But since his entire trip was a secret, no one ever knew to look for him here.
So if he never returned for his suitcase, does that mean... Well, what does that mean?
That he died here. That's what it means.
Again, I have to ask, how can you be sure?
Because I'm looking at his skeleton, and there's a bullet hole in his skull.
Excuse me?
That's right, Mr. Kadera. I'm calling from the water tower. I've been listening to your show from the top secret military facility standing in the middle of our own town that none of us even knew existed.
If what you're telling me is true, how did you...
I was getting to that. First of all, tonight was the perfect night to get up here without being seen. Downtown has been abandoned since dusk. Everyone is home carving pumpkins and watching scary movies. Now, as for the actual climb up here, that was pretty terrifying. The ladder is rusted and the bolts are loose. The ladder led to a hatch that looked to have been sealed shut, probably when the place was closed down so long ago, but fortunately for me, Frank must have broken it open when he came back here, and whoever followed him to the water tower didn't bother to secure it again when they left.
Who followed him?
Some shadowy assassin, I imagine, sent to take him out. Dashler was right. He was being monitored. But I don't think he was followed from the train station. If he had been, they would have known about his locker and probably went back for his suitcase after they killed him.
And you're sure it's him, Dashler?
He had the train station locker key in his pocket. It's him.
And it wasn't suicide?
The bullet hole's in his forehead, and there's no gun anywhere. I figure they just left the body here since it was as good of a hiding place as any. That, and it would have been pretty difficult hauling a corpse through downtown without notice.
Have you called the police?
No, just you. Been sitting up here for hours trying to decide what to do. The place still has power running to it, actually. Flipped a bunch of switches when I got here. Several bulbs exploded, but most came back on. A lot of the equipment fired up, too. Bulky old computers and some other graphing devices. It's all arranged against the round walls of the place, so it's in a ring, essentially, and in the middle is kind of a control station. That's where I'm sitting, where Dashler probably sat, overseeing all of this. They covered everything in plastic before they went, in case they came back someday, I guess. But anyway, when I turned everything on, the place started picking up broadcasts from all over, including yours. Listened for a very long while before I decided to call in.
When you first did, Bailey, you mentioned that my previous caller was right about this place, about there being something wrong with our city, and that all of my other callers were proof of that.
Ray, the very existence of your show is proof. The fact that this town needed an outlet for all of its otherworldly stories should make it clear to all of us that this town is otherworldly.
You also claimed you know why, that you figured it out.
I didn't figure it out. Frank Dashler did. After they shut the water tower down, he had a decade to think about what he stumbled upon. He developed a theory, which he outlined in his notebook. That's why he came back here when he did. He was ready to test his theory. Oh, do you want to hear it?
The theory? Yes, of course.
No, I mean the signal. I have it turned down at the moment, but I can... I mean, if you think your listeners would like to hear it.
I think we'd all love to hear it.
Okay, hang on. Did you get it?
Yes, we heard it. Very strange.
Yeah, when I turned this place on, it was the loudest thing coming through. I figured out how to dial it down, though. Compared to now, 80s technology is pretty basic.
It did seem very strong. I'm surprised you found my show over all of that.
It was a fluke that I did, and yeah, the strength of the signal is something Dashler mentioned repeatedly in his notebook. He was afraid that by the time he got back to the water tower, the signal would be drowned out by all the background noise from our city, since our little town sprung up into a metropolis in the 10 years since this place closed up shop, but when he arrived, he found the signal to be stronger than ever. The more time goes by, the stronger it will get.
Why?
Dashler was pretty sure about 2 points. First, the signal is coming from deep space. Second, it's automated. I said a couple of very suggestive and scary things just then. Take a moment to fully process their possible meaning and significance. And we would have never known it was there, except that some paranoid government built a listening station with the technology necessary to hear the signal on the very spot where it was hitting.
So, the signal was not meant to be heard by us. It's not a message or anything, is what I'm asking.
No, sir. Dashler proposed that the signal was evidence of an intergalactic channel. If you imagine it as a river, the sound we just heard would be the current of the water. Make sense?
Space river. Got it.
And there's something sailing along it, heading right for us. Dashler was alone in figuring all this out. Remember, his employers and the government and colleagues didn't think this was a signal, so not even they know about this. Until now, that is, assuming they listen to your show.
And what you're telling us all is that something is on its way here.
Something has been on its way here for a very long time, and our little speck on the map is its fated point of arrival. This place, Ray, being the long-intended landing area for something unimaginable, is ground zero for the supernatural because it's cursed. Ray, you still there?
Oh, yes, sorry. My producer is telling me that it's time to go to commercial.
Just one more thing, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I know what all Frank discovered when he came back here because he scribbled it down before he died. I found a note beside his skeleton. I'm holding it right now, actually. And there's one last thing I haven't told you about yet. When he discovered that the signal had gotten stronger and realized that it was because the source was getting closer, he worked out how to measure the distance between us and the thing coming our way. Dashler was able to approximate its arrival. Ready for this? 2060. Did you hear that, Circle City? You have a little more than 40 years before your entire world changes forever.
What is coming? Please tell us what.
That, I'm afraid, Frank had no answer for. We'll just have to wait and see.
Thank you for that call. We're going to take a commercial break now. Stay tuned for more Circle City Supernatural.
This has been The Supernatural City by J.P. Leck. The voice of Bailey was provided by Jordan Lee Wheatley. The voice of Kadera was provided by Timothy Renshaw. The voice of Griff was provided by Hans Leck. The voice of Emily was provided by Alicia Taylor. The voice of Violet was provided by Mindy Wesson. The voice of the professor was provided by Lindsay Leck. The voice of the trucker was provided by Jack Draga. The voice of the operative was provided by Bob Mallison. And the handler was voiced by David Dumas. All rights reserved. For other audio plays, short films, short stories, comic books, and novels by J.P. Leck, visit EndlessElsewhere.com.
I'm inside. Someone was definitely here recently. So who found the place?
A local woman. Some shopkeeper. She went on the radio talking about it.
No wonder you guys were in such a hurry to get me out here tonight. First that professor, and now this. So you gonna kill that show before they broadcast any more state secrets, or what?
Well, that would only make people take it seriously, wouldn't it? It's an AM station broadcasting in the middle of the night. Few hear it anyway.
You guys heard it.
We hear everything.
Found the remains. This was some sloppy work, leaving the body here like this. And to not have retrieved his suitcase. Amateur hour.
You're not there to critique the work of your predecessor.
So you want me to torch the place or what?
No, pack up the remains of Dashler and seal the hatch behind you when you leave. The higher-ups have plans for that facility.
Copy that. And the shopkeeper? She getting the same visit the professor did? I'd give you a two-for-one deal.
No, we're keeping an eye on her for now, but no action has been authorized.
I'm guessing you want me to shut everything down on my way out?
Obviously.
So what is it?
What?
The signal.
We don't get to ask questions like that.
Above our pay grade. Got it.